There's ready? Let's call the meeting to order December 12th, 4:02 p.m. The Public Works Advisory Board. Jackson, could you do roll call?
Chair Kelly.
Here.
Vice Chair Herman.
Here.
Board Member Ruppel.
Here.
Board Member Zerung.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. We're going to move the approval of the meeting minutes to next meeting because they were not ready for this meeting. Any visitor communication?
We have no visitor communication.
Great. Board business. I think we have a presentation, Paul.
Yeah. And then, so I'll run us through a little recap of 2023 and what we're thinking for 2024. As well as we can spend a little bit of time with the board on what you want to see from us, what you're thinking for meeting times, dates, does it still work, and then frequency, obviously. So with that, we can kick her off. Okay, so we did some master planning this year, got some master plans done. Promise we got some master plans done.
There we go.
Okay, so we got our wastewater plan adopted and we're just finalizing sign off with the DEQ as well as our water master plan. We got OHA sign off on that. And then our environmental sustainability plan. You guys were big in getting that done. This is the first ESP for the City of Sisters, and it's I think pretty impressive for a town our size. And out of that, you know, we got projects and we've already started checking boxes. So we did a lighting project at our Public Works headquarters, our Public Works shop, our wastewater treatment plant, and in this building here. So we're going to be seeing significant electrical cost savings plus just reduced maintenance with the LED technology that we got. And the funny thing that we didn't think about in this building is the lighting is so bright, especially back in the offices, that we're running about half the lights. So we're saving money there as well.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. A big project we got done this fall was our biosolids land application project. This out of Pond 2, we were dredging both on the east and west banks where we had some buildup. We got aerators in the middle of the pond. They kind of push it to the ends. We take that and pump it out into tanks that are located down by our lab building where it's mixed with lime and basically stabilized at a pH of at least 12, over 12 usually. And that kills all parasites, bacteria, anything that's in it. Basically neutralizes it. Then we spread it on the field. And then within 6 hours, we had a disc running behind it to disc it in. So the entire field has been disced and it'll be reseeded in the spring, and then we'll be growing another couple cuttings of orchard grass. So this is the orchard grass that we got out of there this year. It's already been sold. It'll be leaving the ranch here shortly. And then, yeah, it's kind of full circle with effluent and biosolids reuse. And feel free to ask questions as we go.
Back on the last one, I know that we got a budget. And how long does that liner last on those ponds?
It's a 50-year liner.
50 years?
Yeah. 50 mil, 50 years.
Okay, cool.
So well one, we are under design right now. We're neck deep in it. Actually, we have the building elevations complete, site plans complete. We're working through mechanical, structural, electrical, and automation right now, working through the specs for all four of those. And we will have that complete, I want to say, by early spring and be ready to bid and go to construction. So
is that well site used gas or is it on-site generation there too?
So it's gas right now in this little lean-to right here.
Gotcha.
And we're building a building. We're getting rid of the gas. It'll be on-site generation.
Okay, good.
Yep. So a couple elevations here. We're looking, you know, pretty simple, but we'll keep it in character with its surroundings and its beautiful spot up Three Creek Road. And so we'll have split face block. We'll use standing seam metal roof. Make sure that it's well suited for fire mitigation, obviously, as well as energy efficiency. And I like no maintenance buildings. So doesn't get any more low maintenance than that. So existing site layout right here, this is the chlorine shack, pretty small footprint, the generator right here, the electrical transformer over here, and our startup swale here. And then what we're going to be installing, which will look a lot like well four, is you can see a longer building here, being able to incorporate, you know, the wellhead stays as it is, and we'll be incorporating the new chlorination equipment. The backup generator will remain exactly where it's at. Same with the transformer, as well as the startup swale. We are not increasing capacity of the well. We just actually rebuilt the pump and the motor this past spring. We are basically just updating the building and bringing it into compliance with all recent or new building codes. It'll look a lot like this, except CMU will go all the way up to the top of the roof, same roof pitch. And then we'll just have a fence, spinal coated chain link with three strands of barbed wire around the top for site security.
Has there been security issues there in the past?
Never. Nope. People don't even know it's there. And actually, it stands out a lot more than it will. We're working with the property owner as well, just to make sure that it blends.
Yeah.
So we did phase one of our fuel reduction project at the Edgington Road site last spring, which included a major thinning of the stand. It was very thick, very dense, heavily forested, a lot of ladder fuels. Everything was trimmed up at least 6 feet from the forest floor. And then this fall, we just completed the mowing of the site. This is what it kind of looked like before. It actually was a lot worse, you know, over farther west. And you can see what it looks like now. And it's beautiful. It's like a park up there. So great project to get done. Phase one was 100% grant funded. Phase two, we did in-house.
Is that city land? That
it is. The 10 acres on Edgington originally belonged to Sisters Water District. And then when we incorporated in 1946, we absorbed the water district, which included the property.
Gotcha.
Yep. The other site that we did, much larger site, is up here at the wastewater treatment plant. You can tell we've treated this area here before. We had not been into this area. This is right behind Five Pines, right here, the cabins. Very, very heavily densed ponderosa stand. So the thinning project, the spring took out a lot of small stand in there. You know, mostly 4 to 8 inch DBH, just clusters, and basically got the spacing where we got decent crown spacing, you can see here, to help mitigate any type of potential crown fire that could come in. Everything was basically chipped on site. All brush was chipped on site. You go out there and it almost looks like a portable sawmill is there. And then a lot of any Merchantable timber was stacked and then hauled out using rubber tire equipment. There's no dozers or skidders or anything. So it was really very unobtrusive, low impact to the site. So hopefully we won't see a lot of, you know, non-native, typically cheatgrass comes in when you disturb the soil like that. And hopefully you'll just have beautiful bunch grass out there. East Portal Master Plan, another planning job that you guys helped us out with last year and the year before. This is the East Portal site as we see it today, including the labyrinth down here that will stay. And this is the basically the master plan layout here. Remember, we've got long-term, short-term parking here with a bus loop potential. The thought process during the master plan was to include this as kind of the near-term bus drop-off point. And then future phases, we would do the sawtooth design here. Long-term parking here, some RV parking, as well as parking on Cascade, and then our EV chargers up here.
Do we charge for the chargers?
We will charge for the chargers. Yep, we're just working out the details with ODOT right now. So we got a grant to proceed with design and construction of phase one, $978,000. And we're going to shoot for getting the multi-use paths in, this parking up here for the EV chargers as part of this phase. It's got a separate funding grant of right about $250,000 that we were able to procure. And then we're going to add in this bus lane right here with the sawtooth design, and then work with CET to get a bus shelter or two bus shelters here. Try to get all this in and include an RV dump station with this phase as well. So to date, everything's been surveyed. We surveyed every tree on the site. Right now, our consultant team is reworking the design to work around the majority of the trees as much as they can, especially the big trees. There will be some mortality in there. We just want to keep it to a complete minimum. And then, like I said, we're going to keep the labyrinth down here, and we're looking at potentially squeezing in a small little dog park in here. Once we get the design going, it's not something that ODOT would fund, so we'll go ahead and continue with the ODOT-funded work, and then we can circle back and do a quick design with an LA that we have on our engineering team. So
is it going to be a fenced dog park?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not sure what folks are using the labyrinth for, but have you thought about conflicts of interest having a dog park right next to a meditation labyrinth?
So they're really, I mean, when they're out there, is basically twice a year on the Equinox. Okay. So it's not that big of a deal. And we could actually close the dog park if we needed to during that time. So, yeah. They will be out there on the 21st. I'm sure they'd love to have you. They're going to have a little warming fire and think good, peaceful thoughts, sounds like. You remember this project that we got to full design and bid ready with a pretty steep price tag. So we're looking in 2024 to come back with you and strategize on maybe cutting this piece out right here and doing it as phase one. It's the two most critical intersections in the corridor. Something that we can get done to help the alternate route function better after the Locust Roundabout is in, that we can fund with our existing SDC funds. And just think through, strategize, you know, what makes sense to go in with phase one to kind of set up phase two, you know, your power source, conduits, obviously try to minimize any type of construction loss. You know, obviously we'll end up having a turn lane here with a taper. So probably some striping redos on that, but be efficient as we can with that project and get phase one under construction in the fall. So
that's important to do. So it ties the whole roundabout together.
It does. And this movement here is a critical movement, getting this turn lane in here for safety. Yeah. Yep. It needs to happen. And again, this is, you know, as busy of an intersection as this one is up here. So another project that, so we budgeted funds for safety projects around town, and we met with the school district about a month ago, just thinking ahead about the new elementary school opening next fall. They had a couple requests for some raised crosswalks up in the neighborhood of the high school to the elementary school crossings. So we're working with our engineer, met with our engineer on site. He's going to come up with a corridor layout plan, and then we'll bring it to you guys next month. And we can start walking through that and figuring out, does it make sense to have a crosswalk here at this intersection versus the other side? And we're actually going to take it all the way down to Arrowleaf, down by Dairy Queen, where we do not have a crosswalk at the Arrowleaf intersection, and try to get one pieced in there that makes sense. So we'll have Eric out for the next meeting, and he can walk us through that, and we can get that baby going.
Could you get that information to us prior to it, or even arrange?
We'll get the corridor layout prior to.
Because it would be nice to do a little walkthrough on that area, and actually if we go out there at, like, you know, 8:15 in the morning and see how busy it is.
8:15, 3:00.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those times. Yep. That would be really good.
We got a request, barrier removal request, actually down at Arrowleaf from a disabled gentleman who lives up in the Ponderosa apartments, and just trying to get a crosswalk across Arrowleaf right there. And I was like, holy cow, I can't believe that he goes down that far. And why doesn't he go to the inside on the north side of McKinney Butte? Well, he's going to Dollar General, by Martin, then crossing over.
Yeah.
And I drove by, and sure enough, he was sitting there just waiting. And it was like, oh my gosh, we got to fix this. So it's real.
Good. Yep.
So it'll be a great project. And like I said, we have funds. We'll get it designed and built in 2024 for sure. There it is. It's all pretty. can't wait. This has been a project of mine since 2011 when we started tackling Barkley and Locust, and then we focused on Barkley. Got it done, and focused to Locust. You can see, you know, the layout's moving quite a bit north. We have already purchased the right-of-way from the school district, so we got that secured. All the right-of-way is secured from these adjacent businesses. Temporary easements have been procured. And ODOT has been meeting with the affected property owners multiple times over the past couple months doing the right-of-way process. We're going to jump into the meetings with them as we start talking construction staging, detour routes, keeping business accesses open, parking, all those good things. So
yeah, because I heard in a meeting that I was in it was a non thing and had nothing to do with the meeting, that the people at High Camp hadn't been contacted, and they've been out of town for a couple months. So I take all that with a grain of salt on it.
Yeah, ODOT has met with Nurbu and Jim multiple times.
Okay. Yeah, and I like I said, I take it all with a grain of salt, but that's what they're saying on that.
Yeah, in fact, they had to negotiate the right of way payment and the temporary easement payment, so they got a check out of it too. So
okay,
yeah, yep. Okay. But we're going to be meeting with the gas station folks, High Camp, the Oliver Lemon folks here, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, that, you know, what they see is what they're, what they see on paper is what they're anticipating that they're going to see when it's under construction.
Is that going to be an Oliver Lemons in that location?
No, it's owned by Rudy and the family. All right. So I'm not sure. It could be. Yeah. Yeah.
What happens to that little space where the highway is above that property?
Right here?
Yeah. Is that still ODOT?
It's probably going to remain under ODOT. They'll go and they'll remove the pavement because this is the truck bypass with the multi-use path here. And we'll have to see. We're going to come back and do some pretty extensive landscape work around the roundabout like we did with Barkley, as well as, you know, dealing with, you know, what's going to go on in here. So some type of art installation. This is going to be, this property here is going to be jurisdictionally transferred to the city. So we will own this. We have a water line in there. We have sewer line in there as well. And we want it to look nice, you know, versus just giving it to the gas station. We have no control over that. It's a gateway to our town. So we want to make sure that it looks presentable at all times.
Are we going to move our
public coming in?
Are we going to move our Welcome to Sisters sign to that location?
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah. Could be a good spot for it. Yep. Any other questions? So we got bid let beginning of February, start construction beginning of April. Roundabout will be open by Memorial Day. So what that means is this will be open, North Locust will be open, and this will be open. After Memorial Day through what ODOT figures to be July, they're going to be working on the South Locust leg, which will remain closed till they get it done. And then there's some offline work they needed over here at Hood as well. So, and potentially some work down here in the Jefferson intersection. This is going to change. This median's going all the way through, so you're not going to have that
left
scary left turn hanging there.
It's not scary. It's just convenient.
Oh, it's so convenient, but it's scary when it's there's when it's busy. That's for sure. So what's cool is you can just whip into this roundabout and cruise around and be gone. Yeah,
that's right.
Yep.
Is there going to be at the Hood exit, is there going to be a turn lane there like there is now?
Right there.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
You're done.
Anything else on the roundabout? Great. We put out a RFP to start the design on the West Side Pump Station. This is one of the bigger projects that you remember back to the in the wastewater master plan. Basically, we'll pick up and be a regional pump station. It'll pick up the entire west side of the city, and it'll reroute through a force main down Pine. We'll bore under the highway, get up to Jefferson, go down Jefferson, and it'll tie into our existing 12-inch pressure line and Locust. So it basically creates a half a town of capacity at our existing lift station, which everything goes to, which is located down in the northeast corner of town, as well as we'll create capacity for additional development on the west side. So this is Pine Street right here. The Forest Service property line is actually right here. We've got the Woodlands right there. Hoyts is right over here. So we were able to procure this footprint through a special use permit from the Forest Service. And when the Woodlands and the Forest Service, they had to bring in electrical infrastructure up from Pine Street all the way down to serve the new Ranger Station. And we were able to, at that time, purchase a vault and get all the conduits in so we have the electrical service ready to go for this building.
There's today. At the Barkley Pine location, do you have like a pump station there? What's at that location there?
It's a small package lift station. It's not a full pump station. Okay, it's just lifting it up over the hill.
Yep. Will that be, will you still be using that or is it?
We will. Yep. But actually what we're going to be doing is we already had Woodlands put in the infrastructure for it. So we're going to be running that pump station, is going to pump right into this pump station, and we'll be taking it up this force main, which will create a bunch of more capacity in the industrial part. So
it's going to be interesting to see the boring under the highway and that intersection, which has been voted as the most popular intersection in town.
It's going to shut it down for a little bit. Yeah. Yep.
It'd be pretty rough.
Yeah. They can do it pretty quick once they get the bore pits in. Yeah, they can be in and out of there in a week or so.
What size line is that?
This will be an 8-inch.
8-inch
pressure main. Yep. And we'll have the pump station will be similarly sized as the Rope Street pump station, which is a triplex wet well, three pumps. We like to go that route just for redundancy and backup, just in case. It'll have a backup generator as well and a soundproof wall, little three-sided shelter in the back of the pump station, because we do have some housing right here. And yeah, same thing. It'll be a brown CMU building, metal roof. You won't even recognize us there when you drive by.
Is there any odor issues at the existing pump station?
Not too bad. No. Nope. We had a one manhole just up the hill that was a drop manhole that we did when it first got constructed. And then we put one of those charcoal filter trays in the top and it solved it.
Cool.
Yeah. So some development projects that went on this year. So we just got done with the Woodlands phase two. So phase one was this entrance right here, Sisters Woodlands Way. They built it up to, I want to say, it was actually built up to here. And then they built this loop here and then this over here. They started the going vertical with this cottage development here. They're almost done with that. They got a couple of habitat homes to finish up in there. And they have moved up to some duplexes right in here. So phase two, they continued this road up to here, made the connection over to Sisters Park Drive, and then took this alley down to, there's a phase line right about there. So phase one and two are done. We'll be bringing phase two infrastructure to council for acceptance in January, as well as with Sunset Meadows here. So this is Highway 242. We got Bi-Mart right over here, Felicity Lane, East Portal right here. Phase one and two included infrastructure for this area right here. And then we just got, I think they got their building permit approval for the multifamily development here. So they're calling it phase five. They're actually building this first. So with that, they got to build a quarter street here, some trails down through here, extend the new trail down 242 to this point. They got to redo this corner, do some work in this intersection. And then, yeah, then they'll start going vertical with probably phase one and phase two permits pretty quick. So you've been by there, you've seen it. We're really happy that we were able to negotiate getting this offset off of the Highway 242. Originally, Hayden Homes was looking at building out this property, and they did not want to do that setback, so they actually walked from the project. And so the Woodhill Homes jumped in and took over the project, got a master plan, got the subdivision approval, and they're doing the construction on it. So any questions with that? Came to hang out? No problem, you're fine.
Are there sidewalks along Felicity Lane now?
There's sidewalk on the north side. and the quarter street improvement that will be required of this multifamily will build a sidewalk on the south side. Yep. So here's the new paving that occurred about a month ago. This is the phase two paving that went in. They went ahead and built their sidewalks for the most part, including their driveway aprons. So typically developments won't do that. They'll build the sidewalks, kind of the last thing they do. They did this for, it was their marketing approach. They're marketing the project.
So is this project, are they going to maintain their own roads?
No, these are
these city streets.
Both. So public roads right here that we will own and maintain, private alleys right there. So they will own those and they will maintain those.
So they're going to do the plowing and stuff during the wintertime?
On their private alleys, yeah. Yeah. Sunset Meadows, this is the north-south street. This is actually looking up towards Bi-Mart right here. Kind of winds through there pretty nice. And this will be the multifamily over here. This is the east-west street. And so phase one to the north here, phase two to the south. Now these guys will build out their sidewalks as they build out the homes. So they took a different approach. So the original Highway 242 path ran pretty close to the highway within the ODOT right-of-way. We were able to get Woodhill Homes to rebuild that path along their frontage, pull it away, meander it through the trees, just make it safer, more pleasant for people. And then this entire area has a public access easement. I think it's a 70-foot setback, I believe, off the highway.
Are they going to, is that path going to be pulled back all the way or to the churches or just, or just during the corner right here?
Just from Brooks Camp to Hood right now. Yep. Which is the frontage of this property. So you'll see it dive back and connect to the path. That'll be a little bit of throwaway when they do phase three and four. You'll see it. They'll pick it up here and meander it through the trees over to Brooks Camp.
Cool.
Yep.
And those paths, those are multi-use paths, both
they are
and bicyclists.
Yep. Yep.
What about e-bikes?
E-bikes too.
What about three-wheeled scooters?
Three-wheel scooters too. Four-wheel scooters.
Okay. Yep. Quads.
And sisters, sure. Snowmobiles.
<Yeah. laughs> Golf carts.
Yeah. Yeah, until the entire country wraps their head around e-bikes and, you know, what's going to be allowed where. Which is, it's in process right now. Obviously, you have the up to 20 mile an hour, and then you got the up to 30 mile an hour, and there's a big difference between those two. So we're assuming that faster bike is going to get regulated harder, and it could be not allowed on multi-use paths. You'll have to ride with the traffic. So we'll see. All right, future projects, some current projects that we'll be working on. So we want to complete well one design this fiscal year, which is by June 30th. And then assuming council, and all this is assuming council kind of adopts this train of thought into their goals and budget moving forward. We'll be doing goal setting with them in the end of January, I believe, beginning of February, somewhere in there. So we'll be talking about all this stuff, and I'll probably do kind of the same presentation for that group as well. But we'd like to just jump on building well number one, getting it going. Again, complete West Side Pump Station. Right, it'll probably be end of July, August. Try to get that out to bid about this time next year, November, December next year. complete the east portal phase one design, and then go right into constructing the phase one improvements. That'll be a fiscal 24-25 project. Design and construct well 3 VFD backup generators. So this is something that we're doing right now. We're working with our engineer to design it. There's not a lot to design, but there's some control work that's got to be done. Some electrical design's got to be done, a little bit of structural. But we'll end up with a backup generator at well 3. And if you remember, when we did the master plan, the water master plan, we assumed in all of our water modeling that well 3 would be offline, because we didn't have a backup generator at that. So it's a redundancy sustainability project that we were able to use ARPA funds for as well. So we'll be under construction here in a few months, 3 or 4 months. So it's going to be exciting for the city. And then we want to work with developing a funding strategy for the Locust Roundabout art and landscaping. We have some ideas there. We're going to be working with the council on doing that. And then that'll be a project that, if we do it like we did with Barkley, which worked out really well, we had a separate ad hoc committee of some of the local artists in town. We had a person from ODOT on that, a person from the Forest Service, Sue Hollerin from Ben's Art in Public Places, I believe. She helped us out with that. So they basically developed a call for artists, and we advertise it. It goes out into the art world magically, and artists decide if they want to propose on it, and they send in basically a paper application with some sketches, drawings, what they'd like to do. That group narrows it down to 3 or 4 and then gets them to construct, build a model of the actual landscape or the art piece. And then we put that on display out in the foyer in the city hall and let the public come in and vote on it. And then compiled all that data, gave it back to the committee. They could have gone with it, they could not, and they ended up going. So it was a pretty cool process for the community to be able to be a part of it. So I imagine we'll probably do something along the lines of that, but that'll be a decision that council will make. And then we'll have to work out the funding for that as well. So assume, you know, roundabout being done this year, we're going to leave it capped with dirt at the top of the curb, and then have it ready to go for art and landscaping probably spring of 2025. It's about the timeline that we did with Barkley. So, like I talked about, we're going to be digging in with you guys to figure out what this phase one looks like, and then get a updated cost estimate for it and get that in the budget. Go under construction fall of 2024. We have some pump station, basically just replacing the pumps down at Rope Street pump station that we want to do. We may tie that into the West Side pump station design, depending on how we like the consulting team. This is a big one for us. We've already started working on this. We're filling out the application as we speak. We've already talked to Business Oregon, who puts these on, and they got us teed up to have a one-stop financing meeting where DEQ, USDA, Business Oregon, all the big public agency funding people, get them in one room. You basically show your projects, give the backstory on it, and then they bring at that meeting their funding options. And at the end of it, you're able to walk out knowing that you can get maybe forgivable loan or low interest loans. We're not going to be in the grant market because our AMI is too high, unfortunately. But we'll be able to have a funding strategy walking out of that. And then we can start getting ready to issue these design build requests for our large projects, the new 2.2 million gallon reservoir, the 16-inch Edgington Road trunk line, the really cool Lazy Sea Wetlands project. We might sandwich some other projects in with them too. So that's going to be happening in the spring and summer. And then we want to get out ahead of it as we're getting the funding together and start getting these out there and getting our teams on board, ready to ramp up and go to work. We got a little project that's in this year's budget at First Street Park, basically to put in a recirculating retrofit disinfection system to First Street Park. The reason we didn't do that when we built it, after consulting with both Bend Parks and Rec and Redmond Parks and Rec, they were like, don't do it. It's like owning a swimming pool.
That's exactly what it is.
You're testing water four times a day. You got to have staff that do that, that are licensed, that are trained. So it's just been going in the sanitary. We use a little bit for irrigation, but, or we have it set up to use for irrigation. We haven't done that. We put in a separate vault for it, which is good because actually that's where the equipment will go for the disinfection system. So then we, you know, we're into water conservation world. So we're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off and just do it. It's the right thing to do. So that's a project that Jackson is working on right now, working on the design of that. And hopefully we can get that going later this winter, early spring, and get it ready for summer. We are in water, wastewater rate and SDC update mode right now. We just got the analysis for the SDC updates with the new CIPs. And guess what?
Well, no.
They're going up. Yep. So right now we are going up, I want to say, a little over $2,000 in water for a single family dwelling unit and about $800 in sewer. So not too bad. Not too bad. We thought it was going to be worse, but we're using updated. It made it a little bit more. We're using updated population data that just came in for 2023. That'll actually be verified here in a couple weeks.
And you're going to increase the water and wastewater rates for everybody else?
Water and wastewater rates, they're going to have to increase because that is what secures your debt funding.
Yeah,
you got to be able to essentially cover your debt service with rates. Even though we will likely use SDCs to pay those, pay that debt service, but the state and the feds won't allow you to assume that you're going to get those SDC dollars. And we're seeing it this year. I mean, our building activity has gone down sharply, and our SDC revenue has gone down with it.
So when you're looking at the rate increase, look at multi-year increases as opposed to one big lump, because what it's, the consumer seems to be more, a better appetite to do like 1 or 2% or 2%, and then it's more of a gradual increase. And that's what I've seen other utilities do, and that's how they've stayed on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, sewer, we're not bad. I think we're 4 or 5% that it needs to go up. Water, we're about 17%. The problem is if you don't have that in and you're going out to issue debt, they want to make sure that that debt is backed. But truthfully, our water and sewer rates are so low that a 17% increase for a single family home is like $3. It's not much.
For the year, for the month? Or
the month. Yeah. Yeah. It's pennies.
It makes my ears hurt just.
But people hear that 17% and they're like, whoa, you know, so we're going to do some education with it,
yeah,
and outreach. And we're looking at some options of potentially doing a tiered waterage use methodology. So, you know, the more water you use, the more you're going to pay, you know, the higher it is per 100 cubic feet. So a lot of cities do that. Sewer, we're going to look at actually what goes potentially doing a volume-based sewer charge as well. So you look at your winter months, do a winter month average, and you base your year-round sewer rate off of that. So you have your base rate, which covers your fixed costs, and then your overage rate, which covers your variable costs. So both of those together work really well for, again, water conservation. You hit them in the pocketbook.
On the winter-based, what about people who are just like, this is their summer home? Is there a lot of those type of folks? Are they going to be paying no sewer?
We'll probably have a minimum. Okay. You know, what a typical single-family dwelling. Yeah, so you're covering that. Yep.
Does like a default for most single-family homes. And then there's like, if your usage is above that default, then you're getting charged.
Yep.
Additional.
Yep. Yep. So with both those, we do that for our commercial and industrial accounts today, but we actually do a 7 month average. So we do November through April. Residential would probably do a 5 month average, November through March, just because people are still irrigating. It's kind of tough. So. All good policy decisions.
How do you handle PMV? Because we don't run anything from November to April.
Well, you don't have a sewer rate.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah.
Right. We have a meter.
You got a meter. So, yep. So you being one of the larger water users, you would be in that top tier and probably go from $1 a 100 cubic feet to $3 to $4. 100 cubic feet, potentially. Don't write those numbers down.
No, I won't.
Hypothetical.
I'm just going to write increase.
Increase, yes. Yep.
We have to rethink the greenery.
Yeah.
Yep. And then lastly, this is something that we're going to bring to you at your next meeting, design and construct the McKinney Butte Corridor safety improvements. So I'm sure I missed stuff. You know, this doesn't count all of the street maintenance work that we're going to be doing, kind of the day-to-day stuff. This is just more the capital improvement side of things.
I know on the street maintenance, you pushed a lot of some of the work into the spring, and that's still in the budget to do it.
Yep. And oil prices have come down.
They have.
So it might have been.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't
brilliant
it?
Brilliant move. Might get lucky sometimes.
And buy it now, right? Yep.
Fire away. Any questions, concerns,
so what,
things that are not on this list that you would like us to look at?
So I would. I like the idea of the workshop talking about Barclay. I think that's really important to do. What it would be great if we could do it, because when we first started the advisory board, is that we promised a tour of facilities. And we were never done that because of COVID. And it would be great if we could get out there and go look at a typical well station, look at a typical pump station, do a field trip out there. It might be best if we did it in the spring when things thaw out a little bit, but sort of get an idea of what the actual work we do in the city looks like.
Sure.
That would be sort of cool as a member. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have some new board members too in January. So.
So that would be a good one.
Give us all rubber boots and we'll just tromp around in the wet.
Put you in the boat, take you for a float, yep. Do some fishing.
Also sneak attack. I'm just going to knock on the door with your boots on.
That's right. It rains the current mirror.
No, I agree. It's good to be able to put a face with a name, right? So know where we're going to be building the new reservoir and drive where that trunk line is going to go. And
yeah,
that's the cool stuff.
I think the other question you had was, how do we want to run meeting dates?
Yeah. We'll turn it over to you and you guys can decide what you want to do.
So is this a good day? Tuesdays? Second Tuesdays?
Works for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So we got one of them down. One
is the time down. Fine? Is 4 o'clock late enough? We could go a little later if you want to. Doesn't bother us. We're here till five anyway, and we can be past that.
4:30 would be a little better for me.
Okay
with other people, but I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do 4:30.
I just saw today my wife picked the kids up.
No, that was awesome. That's good to see her though.
Yeah.
4:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
And so the question is the frequency on that as well. And I know that if it's on your calendar, you sort of block it off. If it gets canceled 10 days ahead of time, it's sort of like, well, I blocked that time off for it. So the question I ask is there in the, of the group, is there, do we want to do it on a quarterly basis every other month, cram everything into those meetings or continue on with on a monthly basis? Well, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
The occasional cancellation works great for me. I kind of like having it on the calendar for every month if that's what mm-hmm. there's a possibility there. But that, I mean, the current works great for me.
Okay.
Do you have a, how soon do you know that we're going to be canceling normally? Is it within that week or is it within that month?
I think, you know,
right now that we're not going to have one in January.
A couple weeks ahead of time, we know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it depends on consultant schedules and those type of things where we have to bounce to another month. Our thought process was definitely have a meeting in January. You got a new board. We got some work to do to jump into it. And then maybe on a 2-month basis, and that would put us into March, which would work good for getting all of our projects in order and getting it ready to present in the budget to City Council. And then we'd be looking March, May, then June, then July, obviously. So that works good for us.
I mean, because it's staff too that I realize that's
odd because, number of months.
And, you know, when you have these bigger projects, they don't move that fast, you know. It's kind of a flurry, and then all of a sudden you're waiting on something, and then a flurry, and so.
Municipal speed.
Sometimes, yeah. Unfortunately, thankfully not state speed, but.
That seems reasonable. Does that sound good? So January meeting, then March, then do March.
May, July.
It would also be flexible, like if you had to cancel March.
Right.
So or probably if, what we should do is just leave it on our calendar for the second Tuesday at 4:30.
And if we need to, for some reason, get something to you guys so we can keep things moving.
Sounds reasonable, yeah.
Okay.
And then we can almost decide at the end of that meeting, do we need to get together next month? Because we probably
absolutely
know if we're going to
Yep, absolutely.
More advance notice is great.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
What else was on your list?
Just board member comments.
So I think really open it up. What would make this meeting more productive or more beneficial for you or the community? What are your thoughts?
I'll need a minute on that. I'll pass for now.
John?
It's great.
What about snacks?
Need?
I'm always good. If I brought them, it'd be okay.
Snacks would be good. When we do our Rotary Board meeting, we serve snacks and drinks.
We can do that. Absolutely.
Any dietary restrictions?
Yeah. There we go. Becomes complicated.
Yeah, I only eat pizza.
Yeah.
I'm allergic to everything else.
So I'm just kidding.
What do you eat? Rachel?
Yeah, I like the idea of field trip, like tours. But otherwise, I really appreciate getting, you know, the plans in advance so I can go out and, like, check out the site, familiarize myself with it.
could make one of those types of trips optional on a month that you're not going to meet, right? Like if it was reserve time and then not going to meet, just go meet it.
Does a week ahead of time work? Is that enough time for the packet?
Yeah.
To be able to review and get out and look?
Yeah, because I really like to go through it. So then we're not blind going into the meeting. Week works.
For sure.
Andrea is the council member that sits in our meetings. What are you getting what you want out of the meetings?
Absolutely. It's very helpful when Paul does a presentation about, you know, what's happening to say the advisory committee, you know, had lots of questions about this and this, but you know, they felt comfortable with this package. And that's exactly what they want to know. Were there any red flags? Was it odd? Did it seem out of place for sisters? Are we way off the base for the general population? I mean, that's who you are now. You're representing the general population. And so it is helpful.
I think you do a great job relaying what you guys do and agree upon and have concerns with to the council. Yeah, there's definitely value there for sure.
Because what we're trying to do is avoid the land that are hidden out there. All the
projects of, oh my God, this wouldn't have, nobody knew anything about this and we haven't heard anything about it and we would have never approved this. You know, you go, whoa, we were way off, way ahead of the population. City occasionally has run amok on things that, you know, we think, oh, well, this is not going to be a big deal. And there it is, a great big huge deal. So the more warning we can get about things, the better off we are.
And we're going to be running into some interesting public interactions with when you talk rate increases and
it'd be a big one.
Working with the building departments and the builders out there on the STC updates. You know, those are difficult conversations to have. But necessary.
All the building permits between June 1st and June 29th.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Seen that.
Can I turn the question kind of around and ask, is there any more you'd like to see from us?
No, I think we got the wheels rolling pretty good right now. You know, obviously losing Dave was big. For the group and for staff, but Bill's jumped right in, done a great job. And, you know, I think for staff, we just don't want the public or the council to think, you know, Paul came up with this idea while he was shaving this morning, you know. I mean, that there's been a lot of careful thought and there's a plan and multiple plans in place and there's execution of those plans. And everything is really strategically done. And then getting more eyes on things before we're out turning dirt is huge for us. So your guys' expertise is big to really throw up those, whoa, wait a second, did you think about this? Or, you know, so yeah, no, I think it's exciting. I think this last year was just a lot of master planning, which is
tedious.
Not exciting. We like to see the yellow iron roll in, and that's when it gets fun.
So that, yeah, I will give you a caution on that one, because people don't like to hear about the yellow iron rolling and building stuff. People get like, he just wants to build stuff. I'm like, well, that's what his job is, to do that. So people sort of get excited about that too.
Yeah, I mean, we education on, you know, we want to make sure that water comes out of your tap all the time. We want to make sure those fire hydrants put out fires, you know. But there's reasons why we're doing this. But we are in an interesting time where there is some anti-growth sentiment out there that we haven't experienced really before. Maybe pre-sewer system there was a little bit, but You know, I think during the rate discussion, we are going to hear from people that these people need to be paying their fair share. You know, growth pays for growth. We don't care.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
and look, I mean, when you get to that rate increase, look to the League of Cities and AWWA, make sure that you're getting their conversations lined up and answers to those questions that people are going to get pissed off about, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. No one likes those rate increases. And then there's, who are we going to subsidize? You know, because that's the question that people always ask. Well, I'm on a fixed income. I can't afford my rates. PNV just raised our rates, so I can't afford that either. So it's all those things. It's part of inflation, though, that's going on right now.
Yeah, it is reality, for sure.
Does the city have a assistance program for utility bills?
We do. Yeah, we got a low income assistance program. I think it's 25% off.
Nicely. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. We just don't let anybody know about it.
We have, yeah, I want to say a couple hundred. We got quite a few accounts, honestly. Yeah, good. Definitely. And we work with, and all of our Central Oregon municipalities work with people every month. Things happen, you know. It's your repeat.
The same people.
Same people that, you know, you're like, well, we are going to shut your water off. I'm sorry, you know, but we don't do it on Thanksgiving. We don't do it during the Christmas holidays. If it's super cold out, we'll wait, you know. I mean, we really try to work with people.
I know. I hate when I see Jackson out there with the red tags.
Haven't done that in a while.
It's a good one. Are there any other questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
City moved to a new utility billing system last month? How did that rollout go?
I don't know.
Joe says it's going good.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
My wife was upset she had to reset her account or something like that, but she got over it after they returned her phone call within like 5 minutes.
In order to make anything better, you have to re-initiate and new passwords and new whatever, you know, but it'll make it better.
That's what I laughed at. She's like, I'm like, well, just call the city. They're really nice down there. They'll take care of it. And she called, and whoever it was very nice to her. They took care of it. So it was
one of the first that when I moved here, was shortly after I moved here. I think Kim sent me a notice. I don't think she called me and said, your water usage is way up over what it was last year. Sure enough, I had sprinklers that were, you know, not working properly. And I thought, well, that was nice. Come on, person. I appreciated that.
Yeah. Did you hear anything from Kim or Joe on that?
No, I overhear folks calling in about it. And they get set up with the new system. They get the phone number. It seems to be working good. Yeah, I don't get calls.
That's good. Because that can be a nightmare. I worked for a company that did that, and they implemented it in Oregon, and I think they were sued for millions of dollars because they implemented it completely incorrectly. It was bad press. So,
yeah.
And sorry, one other question.
Sure.
So City of Bend recently had a test on one of their wells that showed PFAS, so forever chemicals. Mm-hmm. So just curious, like City of Sisters includes that in their tests that they do. And
you know, we're not required to. And actually very few agencies are required. It's mostly cities over 10,000 or if there's been a known spill or site issue. I think Black Butte they required to test because it was a really old military base at one point, or military camp. Yeah.
But was the airport is it always been just a local mom and pop? There wasn't any military flights out of there?
No.
There's been no airplanes or anything that for firefighting have been running out of there?
Huh. I mean, they may do a heli base out of there.
Because that's where I did litigation for a firm that went after PFAS, and mm-hmm. it would be in a spot like the airport or the industrial park.
Right.
Would be the spots that would do that. The other one might be, which is a real far-fetched one, would be at like the Lazy Z Ranch, where we're spreading the solids out or the effluents going in, because all that PFAS passes through your body and then goes into the waste stream. But I think that's going to be, that would have to be super concentrated over a long, long
right, period. Right.
But those are the things, those are the areas we look at. And I agree with if they don't require you to test, then.
Yeah, I reached out to the person that oversees our water system, Jeff Froond, mm-hmm. with the county. And he was like, I don't anticipate you guys having to test. But if we do, we do. So, yeah. We test for so much. It seems like that's all we do is send samples to labs. Right. Between water and wastewater, it's crazy. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Wait till you get that splash pad retrofit going.
Four times a day. Yeah.
Maybe the water will be warmer for the kids. Yeah. Warm like urine.
I don't feel bad for them.
There's one question. I know that in our traffic study we did, there was one of my concerns in town is still the same. It's Pine and Hood.
Uh-huh.
Can we relook at putting a stop sign at that location? Because I've almost been hit there like 5 times. People blowing through the Hood Street.
And really?
People going up. And if you talk to people that drive that on a regular basis, that's a real common occurrence. There's no accidents, but it's people blowing out of Hood without stopping or thinking that the people on Pine have a stop sign there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it just because of the volumes. I think there's a lot of volume coming through there.
And it's a hidden intersection too. So it was like when you did the one on Main and Larch, mm-hmm. that was brilliant. I mean, because that was the hairiest intersection in town.
And it had crash data that warranted it.
Yeah.
So I've tried to get a four-way stop at least 2 or 3 times. And each time there's just no crash data there. It's crazy. I'm not sure how.
I don't know either.
Or it's not getting reported, potentially, you know, but.
Just a million close calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've had.
Close calls there as well.
Yeah.
But maybe that's it. Maybe the close calls always aren't close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We've had Chad multiple times just be like, if you see anything or hear anything, report it. You know, we need some crash data there.
Yeah.
So they make you warrant it. I mean.
Yeah, I get that. It just seems like a natural spot for
them. Yeah, I would love to have a four-way stop there.
Yeah.
And we set it up just like we did Larch, which works awesome.
It does.
Yeah. It's so much safer.
Anybody else? Rachel? What? Oh, see, that's my job usually to ask all these questions. Appreciate you taking the lead.
We'll distribute the load a little bit.
Right. If we have no further questions, let's adjourn the meeting.
All right. Great. Thank you all for taking time out of your day.